Hi everyone, I'm Xiao Zhu from University of Michigan. Today I'm presenting a lightweight framework for fine-grained lifecycle control of Android applications. This is a collaboration between University of Michigan and Samsung Research. Android users might have found that some apps are hard to kill. Even if you click the close all button, these die-hard apps are still running in the background. If you search Task Killer on Google Play, you will see lots of apps that claim to be more powerful in terms of killing background apps. This suggests that users are aware of the fact that some apps are hard to kill. However, even if die-hard apps get killed, they manage to auto-restart. Lots of online articles are teaching users how to deal with such apps. This also suggests that this is a known problem among users. And users hate such apps because die-hard apps should be battle with quickly, consume CPU and memory, causing performance degradation and have negative impact on user experience. You may wonder why apps become die-hard. Well, there are different reasons. It may come from bad engineering practices, but oftentimes being die-hard is the intended functionality. A featureless app may be running in the background in order to monitor your running route, which is legitimate. However, there are also illegitimate cases. For example, an app collects user privacy in the background stealthily. We also conducted an in-depth study on such die-hard apps by analyzing a list of them reported by users from online forums. The fundamental issue is that the app lifecycle enforcement mechanism is too coarse-grained. First, apps have multiple components. Some of them are visible code activities, while for others, such as services, they perform longer running operations even when the user is not interacting with the app. Closer only tries to kill visible components, but long-running services are not affected. Another reason is that before a component gets killed, the system notifies it by calling its callbacks, such as unstop and undestroy. So the purpose is to give the component a chance to die gracefully, for example, saving data to the storage. But the apps can also abuse those callbacks to revive. This notorious hummingbird malware is an example where it starts itself in its undestroyed callback. There are three system features that die-hard techniques abuse: foreground service, floating view, and native process. Basically, they are trying to escalate the priorities to game the priority-based Android memory management system. Apps can also utilize auto-run to restart even after being killed. Inter-component communications, ICCs, are very common on Android. They enable easy communications between different components and apps, but it also opens doors for abuses. One app can just wake up other apps that have been killed. We also categorize auto-run techniques. It's found that auto-run abuses sticky service, system events, watchdog, sync service, shop service, as well as cross-app wake-up. All of the above try to establish interdependence between either component callbacks, between different app components, or even between different apps. And more details about each can be found in the paper. The Android team is not totally unaware of these die-hard apps. Starting Android 8, background execution limit was introduced. But background execution limit itself has limitations. First, it's too coarse-grained, based on per app, not per component. Apps can invisibly run in the foreground, so it may not be limited by background execution limits. Besides, inter-app wake-up is also common among apps, especially for those integrating the same third-party libraries. Based on the insights we just learned from die-hard apps and their behaviors, it seems that an appropriate graph-based representation would be great, where high-priority components can be identified as special load and the interdependence can be captured as cycles. The graph should handle both intra-app scenarios, like the figure on the left, where each load is an app component, and also the inter-app scenarios, where each load is either a different app or the Android framework. To this end, an app lifecycle graph is proposed to precisely model NAP life cycles. AOT has multiple levels that track inner and inter-app interactions. The highest level is cross-app ICC graph, where each node is a different app or the Android framework. The middle level is component level inner app ICC graph, where each node is a different component, such as the component squares in app zero. The lowest level is component callback graph, where each node is a component callback, as shown in each component square. Moreover, ALG nodes and edges are annotated to provide context. For example, can track if a component is initialized by the user, whether it's in foreground or background, and even the restart intervals. Later on, we'll see how this event context can be helpful to define policies. Leveraging ALG, a component level lifecycle control framework is further proposed. It maintains global ALG in the memory for efficient graph-based operations. It also installs asynchronous hooks in order to monitor ICC events and collect ICC information at runtime with minimal extra delay. It also provides query and control APIs for other developers to use. The biggest challenge for a component-level lifecycle control framework is the lack of existing mechanisms to get component-level caller information. Only app-level information is available. As a result, from the target component's point of view, it's called by an app, not by a specific component. There are also other challenges to ensure non-blocking and non-disruptive operations. However, in this talk, I will mainly focus on the first challenge. An intuitive approach to identifying the caller component is to inspect the caller's call stack, where the sequence of method calls and as well as the method arguments are preserved. An example of how this works is shown here. So you have a mesh service that starts a target service in its unstart lifecycle callback. If we look at the call stack of mesh service, we'll be able to find both the caller component from the method signature of unstart, as well as the target service from the method argument of the start service. So far, so good. But a little bit too good to be true. The reality is, call stack is per thread. If the caller component set a new thread to pull up the target component, the caller component information would not be available in the caller component in the call stack of the new thread, and this approach doesn't work anymore. The proposed approach instead leverages the fact that all the app components are essentially subclasses of a set of template classes in the system. For example, an app service, in this case, my service, is a subclass of the base service class, android.app.service. When calling the start service of the my service, the execution flow actually goes into its superclass, runs the method body, and returns. Since all the app services will execute this start service of the service class, they also choose to obtain and attach caller information there. In this way, only a few additional lines of code is needed to be added in the start service method of the service class. This requires no efforts from application developers and is totally transparent to them. As we've seen earlier, the framework records context of inter and inner app events. This is useful to distinguish the legitimacy of the die-hard apps. Here's an example policy. If a service is in foreground and only started by non-user initiated components, then it's considered as an illegitimate die-hard app component. The APIs provided by the framework enables easy implementation of this example policy, as shown in the code snippet. A crucial metric for evaluating a runtime system is the overhead it incurs. This is evaluated on a Nexus 6P smartphone with Android 8. The framework brings less than 0.1 second app launching delay and only 2.5 Second, system boot delay. The CPU and memory overhead is also evaluated. As the figure shows, 5% additional CPU is consumed during the system initialization stage, and about 4.5 megabytes additional memory is used, which is totally acceptable. They also implement a restriction rule based on the framework and evaluate its effectiveness. The rule is to disable all the background service, auto restart services by cutting off the background edges in the ALG. With this restriction, battery level drops much slower and the discharge rate is almost halved. So to summarize, this is the first in-depth study of die-hard app behaviors and the life cycle management. By proposing ALG, complete and precise app life cycle description can be realized. Leveraging ALG, a lightweight framework is further proposed to provide fine-grained life cycle control of Android applications. For the future work, also plan to conduct user studies to better learn the user behaviors in order to build better policies to further restrict die-hard apps. And thanks for listening. I'm ready to take questions.
So I was wondering if in your policies, if you found sort of how tight they were in the sense that you find sort of legitimate use cases that your policies falsely detected as a die-hard mm-hmm. application, mm-hmm. Or were they very precise that they sort of only detected the sort of bad applications and didn't detect any good applications?
For the policy, yeah, I just showed an example policy, but yeah, there are of course some false positives or false negatives. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but the framework itself can be. So the main contribution of this work is the framework is built to enable this policy. But for the currently, the policies proposed in the paper is still very simple. So the authors are working on using some techniques such as machine learning and user study to better understand and build a better policy. Yes.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.